I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am Marina Antunes, and joining me today,
Colleen from Nothing in Particular.
Dale from DigitalDoodles.com.
And we're back. We were sort of MIA for a couple of weeks. It's the middle of the summer. It's hot. We're busy. Shit happens. We watch a lot of movies, and then we come and talk about them. So, you know, it all still works out, for sure. Come on by row3.com and check out all the show notes, links to reviews and fun stuff that we talk about. And yeah, we might as well just get started because there's a lot to cover in a very short amount of time. And we're just going to talk about a couple of movies that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I guess. Mostly the recent stuff. And I think we're going to start with something, Dale, you and I just saw recently, 500 mm-hmm. Days of Summer. Mm-hmm. I must admit, let's start from the beginning. So it's directed by Mark Webb. It stars Zooey Deschanel, very cute Zooey Deschanel, and JGL.
JGL.
Colleen gives me the look, must mention JGL, and who is very good in this, I might add. And it's basically the story of a guy trying to get over a girl.
Well, it's the 500 days of Summer, the 500 days of...
that they spent together.
His relationship with Summer, yeah. From his point of view.
Yes.
Tom, the character, the JGL.
Yeah. And I must admit, I left very excited, very happy. It was a lot of fun to watch. I have since... I don't know if I've changed my mind. I think it's still a really enjoyable film, but I have mixed feelings.
Well, I found... I should have had better notes here. The writers and the director, I'm not quite sure whose decision it was, but nearly the whole film is entirely from Tom's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get a lot of insight into what Zooey Deschanel's character, Summer, is feeling. And that leaves a lot of, well, not a lot of ambiguity, but a bit of ambiguity about where her character's coming from. And I can see where that's going to cause potentially some disagreements about what the theme of the film is. I mean, basically, this character is either a self-centered bitch,
yep,
or she is the down-to-earth one in the relationship that knows exactly what she wants and mm-hmm. isn't taking any shit from her partner who doesn't really...
Yeah, well, and I think that's a problem of the movie. It doesn't know what Summer is either. At least that's my feeling.
I think it is. Well, I'm not 100% sure, mostly because of the disclaimer at the front.
Yes.
Which is a hilarious disclaimer. I mean, actually, the disclaimer, when you watch it, you go, wow, this movie might actually be a bit different. And the disclaimer, it's the disclaimer, so it's right at the beginning, not going to give a lot away. I mean, basically...
It certainly sets up a mood for the film.
Sets up a mood for the film and implies something about the main character.
Yes.
And that is the only thing that gives me any bit of doubt. And I'm not sure whether the writers really intended for that to apply to the Summer character or not. That was just something that they threw out there as a gag about...
Yeah.
And apparently this person in the disclaimer is a real person.
Yeah.
And that was a pseudonym. And whether or not they just based a lot of the Summer character on that and they think that the real woman is a bitch, but Summer's different or what's going on, I don't know.
Yeah, well, for me, it seemed to me that I couldn't walk away from Summer as thinking that she's a good person because of that stupid disclaimer. Yeah, it's really funny and you laugh out loud, but at the end of the movie, it was really manipulative.
I wish the disclaimer wasn't there. For me, it would be a really solid movie, except I have this disclaimer hanging over my head.
This is the thing, and that's the thing. It's really funny when you see it, you're like, ha ha, because it's funny.
And let's talk about, the craft in this movie. I mean, taking away what you think about the story,
mm-hmm.
the craft here is remarkable because they take these 500 days and it's the story of a relationship gone wrong.
But I mean, they're all over the map.
It's nonlinear.
Yeah, no, totally nonlinear.
They give you the end, and then they bounce to the beginning, and then they kind of jump back and forth.
And it totally works.
And it works excellently. Yeah. And the other thing that I really enjoyed about this, and this may be part of your manipulation on these, was they had lots of these cinematographic tricks. Like they had that little rolling odometer for the days that would roll back and forth. And they had these fun little transitions. And they had a musical number in the middle of it. And those really served to lighten the tone of the film. I mean, this poor guy is an absolute abject pain, a bit because he's a dork, but
huge dork.
You know, it's like, God damn it, when you break up, it hurts.
Yeah.
And these other things serve to really lighten the tone and keep the movie kind of light and bright and maybe a little bit trite too. But I really like that about it. I mean, they took something that was really negative, this whole kind of theme of rejection and a relationship not working out, and they managed to keep it from being like really like dour Russian epic crash.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and this is the thing. I did really enjoy myself. I'm not quite sure I'd need to see it again anytime soon, but
I agree.
I mean, I have some serious holdbacks on the whole summer issue. I think that, and maybe it's because it's all from Tom's perspective, right? And I'm not a guy. I can't really relate to the character of Tom in any way. He just seems so needy all the time. I don't know. Just something about it just doesn't work for me.
Maybe I'm revealing too much about myself. I can totally relate to Tom. But I think the important thing with Tom, and I'm kind of, if I give you my full opinion, I might give away too much of the movie, so maybe I should warn people.
Mild
spoiler.
Yeah.
But Summer is the one that is absolutely, totally honest about what she wants. Mm-hmm. Tom is trying to make himself attractive to the girl. He isn't being himself, and that colors the relationship. And in that sense, I don't think that Summer is a bitch. I think Summer was just the one that was the tough love, honest about what the relationship was all about, and she had some negative vibes about him because, you know, he wasn't quite being who he was, and do I really want to go long-term with this guy or not? So I don't see her as a bitch.
No, and this is the thing. I think even if they had set her out as a bitch, period, like if she was made out to be, you know, the worst person ever, I probably would have bought that a little bit more. My problem with it is that they're unsure of what she is because, she starts off, she's sweet. She's like the guy, you know, one of the guys. She's friendly. She seems perfect, right? And you go through this relationship and things seem to work. And then when things start to fall apart, it's not really all that clear. And they really do make her out to be the bad guy.
Oh, but no, but the, okay.
And then they go back when the relationship is done, they go back and they show you how she's been the bad guy. And then they end it with this like totally sappy, oh my God, she's so wonderful ending on the bench, which really just pissed me off.
But isn't that a relationship though? I mean, it's like when you're in the dumps, they are the most evil fucking person in the world. How could they do that?
I guess, but I just,
because it's totally from Tom's point of view, and that's the wonderful thing about it. And
I
it's
guess
like,
I just don't buy it.
She
Tom,
is
man.
A horrible, horrible woman. You know, evil incarnate. This bitch should be just erased from the face of the earth. All this pain, and then you get over it. And you
I'm
move
not a
on.
Guy, man. I obviously don't know.
Oh, I thought women went through that. I guess maybe.
I've only had good breakups. It's very strange.
Well, I've tended
to have good breakups too, but I mean.
Well, I've had the bad breakups. I don't know. I guess maybe it's because I am not a guy. Maybe that's why it doesn't work for me. I honestly don't know. And no, that's the weird thing, because I did enjoy it. And I did like it. And if I'd written my review after I'd seen the movie, it probably would have been much more positive than it was after I slept on it. Because I'm like, I just really don't like her and I don't like him. And I don't know. Just still totally worth seeing. I mean, I really do think that there's a lot to dig into. And I mean, it seems like such a light, you know, romantic sort of little movie. But there's a lot of stuff floating around in there.
There is. I think.
Yeah, and it is really, really well put together.
It is a non-typical handling of a very serious theme.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say it's definitely worth seeing. I don't like it. It's just not my cup of tea, just not for me. Something that I think we all saw, and which, if I'm not mistaken, is still top of the box office charts, is Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which I've just been referring to as Harry Potter 6, because that's what
everybody
it is.
Has.
Yeah.
Everyone's just been going HP, and I keep thinking Hewlett-Packard?
Yeah.
That's funny. Now, this is the second film directed by David Yates. He directed the previous Harry Potter as well. In my review, I made it quite clear. I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. I don't read the books. I watch the movies as they come. They come and they go. I forget they're coming until they're almost here. I get sort of excited, and then they come, and then they go, and then I forget again. That's pretty much the cycle for me, except for Snape. I really, really like Snape.
How could you not?
How exactly, you know? More Rickman in anything is great as far as I'm concerned. Exactly. But particularly a Snape, because he's fabulous, fabulously bad. It was weird because I got the sense from the screening that we went to that it was mostly fans. And the people that are really hardcore fans didn't seem quite as excited as the people that are not hardcore fans. That would be me. Because I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy this. Like, huge. Like, for me, Harry Potter is now divided between before Harry Potter 6 and after Harry Potter 6.
Wow.
I really, really enjoy this.
I'm still in the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was okay?
Yeah, there was parts I definitely liked. Other parts that wasn't...
Not so much.
Not so much, yeah. Although, the strangest thing was the conversation I had with the usher before and after Harry Potter.
Oh.
I guess Langley Cineplex has a, slow, maybe would be a kind word. I don't know. Individuals kind of thing. And they were very happy to talk about Harry Potter. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell it's about. And,
I just love Harry Potter.
I know. It was he was really,
I know Alan Rickman said
he knew every part of that film inside and out. It was, wow. I'm like, dude, I'm going to watch it. I'll talk don't to you after it. The yeah. film, okay? Like, I'm just about to walk in there. And he knew every part. And it's funny. The parts he said, you'll really like this part, is in fact the parts I liked. And he's a excellent. Big Rick Forchuk fan, which was awesome.
Nice.
Which is Rick our local CKNW... movie reviewer.
So. Yeah, Rick gets some love from us.
But like the there's a scene where the candles sort of snuff out in the hall kind of thing.
Awesome.
It doesn't really tell you anything what's going on. No spoiler there. But candles do snuff out at one point. And in my mind is like, I like that. That was good. That was a good scene. Yeah.
I think more than anything, I like the fact that it sort of didn't feel the need to have any action in it. It's kind of languid. Sort of settles in with the characters. I love it.
Well, I
that's why I
liked
like
some of that. I one of the things that I missed was in the previous movies they had like the moving staircases and the moving you know characters moving in the pictures, and that was all gone. And I kind of thought it lost some.
I think
not whimsy, but it did lose something in its place. I mean, it was almost like going from a live location to a set.
I think they were, you know, like in my mind, I got that too. I wasn't seeing some of the stuff in the background moving kind of thing, but I thought it was the whole, like Hogwarts isn't necessarily the place it was. Like there's a change going on as we speak throughout the film.
Yeah.
And definitely, I mean, I do sense what you're talking about with the tone. I mean, the tone of the film was definitely different, and I didn't like it any less, but I actually didn't like it a whole lot more either. I did enjoy that the characters are getting older. I did enjoy that they're real teenagers now and going through that whole awkward phase.
And I think that's what I really, really enjoyed was just...
There were some fun moments,
That whole, just all of it, all of the high school awkwardness, the, you know, I like you, but... You know, you don't know it. I don't know. I really, really like
and
that.
Dramatically, I think you're right. I think this was probably dramatically the strongest, like, got the best acting. I really liked Malfoy. I don't know, but I mean, I thought that was a great performance out of him.
Yeah, he's doing very, very well.
The Luna character is always good. She's just such a little sweetie.
Yeah.
Okay. Potter and Hermione. Is it Hermione? They seem to be the same, like just appearance wise. But Wesley is definitely going through that awkward nastiness kind of thing.
All feet.
Yeah, but it's funny because he's the one that seems to get, you know, all of the attention, right? I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, for sure.
But I was really, in spite of all of that, I mean, I sensed a lot of upping the game with this movie. But nevertheless, at the end of it, I can't say that I liked it any more or less than any of the other ones.
Yeah, for some reason, it really worked a lot more for me. I'm much more excited. For like a split second after the credits rolled, I thought, holy shit, I need to find out what's going to happen next. And then I thought, but that means reading like 7 books? No. Yeah. No thanks. I'll wait for the movies.
So there's only one left to go, or
two? Two. There's one book, which they've split into two.
Oh, to make more money.
Well, yeah.
Arguably. I mean, the thing with the books is the latter books. I mean, and I have read all the books, and I actually enjoyed the first 4. The next 2, I was kind of disappointed in, and then kind of pulled it out in 7, but not. She really wrote those too fast, I think. I think if she'd had more time.
Yeah.
I think she's too smart to have fired her editor, but that's what it feels like. Mm. I think it was just the time demands on getting something out quick. But all of the latter novels are quite meaty. I mean, especially for a movie, you're pulling a lot of stuff out of there. So
yeah.
I really actually think it's a good plan to let the end of the movie set kind of have more space to develop.
Yeah.
Particularly, the story goes all over the place.
Please tell me there's more Snape.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
actually, I don't want to say anything about Snape. But there's definitely. I think Snape gets his final acknowledgement.
Because he's seriously, Alan Rickman is that
it's
character.
It's funny. I mean, I love Rickman. Rickman is awesome. I don't find his Snape as compelling as other people do.
Oh my god, I love it. It's like the only thing that's memorable to me from any of the movies. Yeah.
He makes everything he's in just a little bit better.
He does, but there is something about that character, for me at least, that now when I see Alan Rickman, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't know why. He's just so awesome.
Die Hard is still one of my quintessential. Yeah,
and that's still one of the top ones, but for me, that's the first thing that comes to mind is the black hair. I can't get it out of my head. I think he's fabulous. He's totally underused. We need more Alan Rickman in everything, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't. For me, at least, and like speaking as somebody that's not a huge fan, it was by far the most enjoyable for me. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Though the husband was not as impressed after the 2.5-hour running time and the credits.
It's
very long.
It's a long movie.
Very long.
Very long.
The theater on the North Shore, there were 3 theaters going for it, and there were a mix of people in the show that I went to, and, I mean, the kids seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The credits roll, the lights come up, he's like, I was waiting for the movie to start.
That's a little bit harsh.
Well, it had no action in it. Very little, I should say. Okay, did anybody else get the whole Little Mermaid thing? I actually mentioned it in my review, and no, I thought somebody would bring it up, but nobody did. But did you guys get that Little Mermaid thing?
I didn't.
In the caves? Did you get the Little Mermaid thing?
No.
No, I was getting more Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, when the movie, it's funny, I wish that clip was online somewhere, because I would totally do a screenshot comparison, because that is total Little Mermaid. Total.
All right.
Little Mermaid crack whore? Or?
What?
In the cave?
In the cave when, the
Dumbledore is being sped. Yes.
The camera moves underwater and you see all of these things floating on in the water. You totally didn't get a Little Mermaid thing out of that?
No. Okay.
From Ursula's cave, like huge Little Mermaid
thing.
I can
sort of see that now.
Oh, no, it's huge.
I guess, I haven't seen Little Mermaid in.
Oh, okay, well, I'm a big Little Mermaid
fan. I saw it
once
when it was in first run in the theater.
I give you a break.
Has there been a film called Tide of the Dead? underwater zombie. All the people who've died at seas over the years have all merged. And yeah, never mind.
Okay. You just, I hope you're ready. Copyrighted Colleen Vince right there. Tide of the Dead. That has been copyrighted. Nobody steal it, because that is a great idea. But okay, so Harry Potter 6, let's move beyond that.
Yes.
To something that only one of us has seen.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank you for taking one for the team.
Colleen, you're welcome.
Would you like to share with us what you saw this week?
Okay, yesterday I went to three films. One Harry Potter and one Public Enemy, which I'll talk about later. Both are like 2.5 hour monster films. And trying to schedule them as close together as possible, I'm still getting a good 1.5 to 2 hours gap between films. So I'm looking at the screen, what can I see in that meantime? And about the only thing that was starting and will be finished in time to see the other film is Bruno. And
now,
I wasn't planning on seeing Bruno. I wasn't really interested, but you know what? What the hell am I going to do over and... Actually, I should have thought about it, because that cheap toys place you were talking about in Langley exists. I completely forgot. Otherwise, I would have gone there instead.
Toy Traders, awesome.
Toy Traders, yes. But so
I'll
I decided,
link to Toy Traders. It is pretty awesome.
It is awesome. I decided to go to Bruno instead. And I...
Mistake?
You know what? I'm blaming my headache from today on Bruno. I physically lost brain cells. Unlike the original Borat, that did have some very... uncomfortable sort of like, yeah, I need a wire brush and a lie kind of thing charm to it. This had nothing. I didn't crack a smile on the whole thing.
Wow. Like,
the male nudity in Borat almost seemed to, like, it was obvious and all that, but like naked Kazakhstanian men's having a fight and running around a hotel, there was something mildly amusing and sort of disgusting about it at the same time. Bruno, there must be like 10 minutes of him just sort of jumping up and down with his wedding tackle, bouncing around this way and that. And it's sort of like, what was the point of that? I'm unsure what exactly was.
Hello world, I have genitals,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, and it just, any bit of sort of interesting, sort of uncomfortable humor that was in Borat did not happen in Bruno.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I'm disappointed with myself for seeing it.
Now, so it's not funny at all?
I don't think I cracked a smile the whole time. There was only one other person in the theater, and halfway through they got up, and they like looked up and saw me, and it's like, you're going to stay and watch the rest of it? I'm like, yeah. It's like, you're braver than I am, and she headed out the door.
Because, I mean, I thought the trailer had some funny moments.
In context, they're not funny. They're just dull.
Okay, well.
The whole, he's at the television show. And like,
yeah, that was the part that I thought was very,
named him
very
OJ,
funny.
What kind of thing? But the whole leading to that is sort of like, this is such a, like, you know what? Austin Powers did so much better introducing the sort of Jerry Springer show kind of thing. In this at all. It was sort of, What? Oh, this is funny? What?
Oh, that's too bad.
It was just sad. And I don't think if I was in a theater full of people, it would have been any different.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad that I didn't get a chance to see it. I think I might just skip it altogether.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about
the film.
Consider
it skipped. So there's stuff to see.
You know what? I have this impression in my head that the Bruno, like, I never saw any of the Ali G show kind of thing. But probably the Austrian sort of uber gay fashionista is probably really funny idea in like about a 3-minute skit.
Yeah.
But an hour, 20-minute long film,
not
it
quite.
Just was dumb.
Yeah. That's too bad. Bruno, not good, according to Miss Colleen.
So there.
Something that is good, on the other hand, I'm kind of disappointed you didn't get a chance to see this, because I think you're going to really enjoy it.
I blame my sickness today on watching Bruno from yesterday.
Damn you, Bruno. We had a chance to catch up finally. It seems like it's been forever. Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker.
Excellent.
Very good. So it's a film about the war, the current war in Iraq. Though it could really be any war.
I wouldn't say that it's about that war, though.
No, it's not.
It's set in that war.
Yeah, it's set in that war. It's just about war in general. I don't even know if it's necessarily about war. I think it's about a lot of things.
Yeah.
War just happens to be one of them.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I don't like about this movie. Nothing. I mean... I don't think I gave it a perfect score for the fact that I'm sort of hesitant about perfect scores now. And I mean, it's kind of pointless because, I mean, what's really a number? A number is just a stupid number. I mean, it's a great film, I think. And not only is it entertaining, but it has something to say to boot.
Yeah, so it's about a bomb disposal tech.
Yep.
Who comes in as a replacement when his predecessor is killed in a bomb.
Yep.
And it's about him and his team. They have... like 50 days left before they're done
their rotation,
and it counts down the rotation for you.
Yeah.
So you have this automatic tension of, are these guys going to make it out alive?
Yeah, that's one.
That's one.
And then it turns out this guy is James is like a walking time bomb.
Adrenaline junkie. Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Well, I mean, that's part of the thing. Is he really an adrenaline junkie, or what's going on in his head?
And yeah.
As soon as I said that, I still, it's like, I don't know that I would classify him as an adrenaline junkie,
no.
But he's definitely hooked on that whole experience. And yeah, he's either so damn good at what he does, he can be laissez-faire, or he's freaking reckless.
Yeah.
One or the other. And I still don't know which.
Yeah.
You know, there's that one scene in there where the character recounts how good this guy is, like a colonel or something, and mm-hmm. you're like, holy crap, it's like he's trying to commit suicide sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole film, it hit all of the kind of right notes with. I would really love to hear a commentary by someone who does that job for real.
Oh yeah.
To know what is the reality for them and what is fiction. Because even if a lot of it is fiction, it's still a really good story. And I wouldn't take it away if they change some things. But it would be fascinating to know how much of that is reality, because there is a lot of that movie where you're just waiting for something to happen. And they captured that really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have those tense moments, and you have the moments where they're just kicking back, you know, inside the wire, as the term they use, just, you know, trying to de-stress from the whole thing. And then they're out and around and nothing's happened, but they know it's like, damn it, an IED might go off and they're dead in the next second. They might get picked off by a sniper. They might get caught in like people just being pissed off at them.
Yeah.
And that tension really serves the story well.
Yeah. I think what impresses me the most is the fact that it's such a well-controlled movie. I mean, nothing seems frivolous. Everything seems to be there for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, even like slow-mo. I mean, you would think, why would you put that in there? But it totally works. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's squished in there to show off. It fits so well with the story.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed just all around. I thought it was excellent. Really, probably one of the best things I've seen so far this year. Really thoroughly impressive. Really good. Highly recommended. Colleen, you must see it.
I will. I plan to yesterday or today, but yeah. Maybe by the end of the weekend. I'm on vacation till the third or fourth or something.
Oh, yeah,
so.
You got lots of time.
Yeah.
You still got a week off. My God, that's a lot of movies. But yeah, no, easily one of the best things I've seen in the last little while. Really, really good. Highly recommended, The Hurt Locker. If it's playing near you, see it. It's very good. Moving on, Colleen, this one back to you.
Public Enemies, Johnny Depp's.
Yes, I can't believe I haven't seen this, you know.
I was going to try and see it, and I just didn't get to it.
Yeah, this was one of my...
Yeah.
I think July's only real big anticipated film for me.
I was excited, but, you know, it sort of came and went. I was really busy that weekend that it opened, and I never got to see it, and then just other stuff happened, and the reviews
almost got a free pass. It just didn't work out for timing.
Oh,
you know what? If I had to describe this this movie in two words, too long.
Oh, really?
It's 2 hours, 20-odd minutes runtime kind of thing. And I think it could have easily been cut down to about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
It was good. I liked it. Johnny Depp, as always,
fabulous.
Pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is interesting, but it just seemed to be dragged out so long. And it had real good points. Like there's the opening, essentially there's a breaking out of prison scene kind of thing. And at that point, I'm like going, this is going to be a good film kind of thing. And then it would drag and drag and drag. Like, why are we going this slow? I was really hoping, because Dillinger, it was going to be more fast-paced kind of thing. Dillinger on the run, robbing banks, causing problems, messing with the man. And it just seemed to drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's too bad.
But overall, good film. Like, there haven't been a huge amount of excellent films, so this is now resting in the top 10.
Oh, that sounds promising, eh?
Well, it's one of those ones that on a typical year kind of thing, say last year, the year before, at this point, it would be bubble territory in the top 10, and it's firmly in, like, about fifth place right
now. Yeah,
so
it hasn't been all that great.
No.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm pretty sure I probably won't get around to seeing it on the big screen now, but I'm still looking forward to seeing it.
Just too long. Just overall too long.
Ooh, that's a little... Yeah, that sort of turns me off a little. I don't know why. We're sort of recording this as Comic-Con is in the midst of things, and it's not really something that we talk about here. We don't really do movie news stuff, but there was some footage that came online shortly after the panel that sort of impressed me, and there's been a lot of stuff that's come out of Comic-Con that I think has been pretty impressive, but this is by far my favorite. And I just share that with you guys, and neither of you were all that impressed, but the Tron Legacy clip that they screened at Comic-Con is online, and I thought it looked really spectacular.
It reminded me of the original. Like, there was nothing new there other than slightly better effects.
Yeah.
The idea back in the day was something I hadn't seen before. And you know what? The effects were cool, but they weren't necessarily the draw for it. It was the fact that you were envisioning this sort of world inside the computer, and that was, like, cool. I hadn't seen that before. This is just the same thing I saw back when I was, I don't know how old I was, but I don't know, 7, 8 years old. Same thing.
I don't know. There's something about the clip that I really like. And I mean, we don't know anything about the story. Basically, it's just to show off the visuals. I think the visuals look pretty awesome. Nothing?
No.
Wow.
They were pretty, but I didn't find them stand out.
Oh, yeah. No, I was blown away. I really, really like that clip a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not even into 3D as just, oh, my God, please just, you know, stop it already.
I would be delighted to be wrong. I look forward to seeing other things, like trailers to hopefully... But that scene there was just an updated version of what I saw back in the day. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing
and
new.
And, I mean, it really does feel that way, but I don't know. I think it shows promise. That's just me. I don't know. I'm excited.
I didn't need a trailer to be interested in a remake
Tron
of Tron.
But, well, it's not really a remake.
Well, yeah, it's with Jeff Bridges reprising a role, it might actually almost be a sequel.
Well, they're calling it a sequel.
Okay.
I mean, it was called, their working title was Tron 2, and they just announced that the actual title is Tron Legacy.
Cool.
Which, you know, whatever. But
I'm there.
Have you guys heard?
I don't need to hear any more. I'm there.
Awesome. Now, was there anything else from Comic-Con that you guys have heard about that you're even mildly interested in?
I've been trying to avoid the whole thing.
Trying to avoid the whole thing?
I've heard a few interesting things. None that kind of have stuck
anything
in my head.
Are you guys at all curious on Avatar?
I'm kind of curious, but...
I'm not quite sure what to make about the whole Avatar thing.
Until at this point, they haven't, I don't think, released anything official.
August 21st.
Well, there was an Avatar mech on display, but it looked pretty much like something you would see out of any...
sci-fi
of that kind of genre. Yeah.
Until I see something solid, you know what? It's just stuff I didn't get to see in a panel at Comic-Con, and I'm jealous as hell.
Well, and
so
you know,
I'm bitter and disenfranchised.
It's funny because of all the panels, I thought for sure the New Moon one would be the one that I'd be most interested in. Obviously, totally not. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was coming out of that, but I really the Tron 2 has been the most interesting footage I've seen.
Wow.
Yeah. That's. You know, just the way it's going. And I really like the Alice in Wonderland trailer.
I haven't seen that trailer yet.
Oh, It's very good.
It looks interesting. I'm not sure I'm sold on it, though, yet.
I thought it totally looked like the original Alice in Wonderland. Like, big time. The animated version.
I think I'm just scarred from watching that version with the dead stuffed rabbit, Alice in Wonderland. That one's permanently embedded in my mind, and I think I'm traumatized from the whole thing.
I don't think I know that. Is that from the video game?
No, not one of Alice the video done game.
Movies.
No, this was they took toys and like stuffed dead rabbits and things like that, and there was like a live girl, but everything else was messed up and
creepy.
It is seriously creepy. I wish I could remember the director's name off the top of my head, but he's known for doing these messed up things. And a guy at work lent me it, and I watched it, and I was like, dude, I destroyed Alice for me.
Okay, maybe not.
Well, not destroyed, but like in my mind, I can't help but seeing this dead rabbit. Like, making these weird noise and the little teeth, like...
Okay, weird.
If you looked on IMDb, I'm sure you could find it.
I'll have to do a search for Alice in Wonderland because we'll need
I think
to
it's just called Alice.
Just so. Called Alice. Yeah. Okay. I'll look it up and I'll post a link to it.
Yeah.
Because I have no
and
idea.
And if there's
what you're
a trailer
about.
For it, oh, good God. That dead stuffed rabbit's just freaky as hell.
I do want to give one shout out for Comic-Con coverage, and that's to my new favorite sci-fi news website, Topless Robot.
She's, I just like the name of that website. Kind of,
her coverage is really fun, and it isn't overwhelming like some of the sites where, you know, it's like you bring it up in your RSS reader and go like, oh my God, I'm not going to wade through 50 entries.
Yeah, no.
It's a kind of human readable.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing.
The one paragraph news story.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, and you know, there's only about 3 or 4 posts a day so far. Oh, yeah. So, human level.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why I'm liking Twitter for tracking this kind of stuff, because it's so easy. It's like you just see the little snippets of information. You pretty much get everything you need from, you know, 140 characters or less. And enough people are talking about it that you're going to get the whole story regardless of where you go. So I don't know. It's been like crack. Every year I say I'm not interested, and every year it comes around and I'm like hooked in there like crack. It's like, just give it to me. Just feed it in.
Well, you know what? There's a few things, not specifically movie-related, mm-hmm. but I would have loved to have seen The Guild and their paddling in that, because I'm starting to get hooked on that.
Yeah,
The Guild is pretty cool.
Some of the more like web-based stuff is what's interesting me out of Comic-Con.
Yeah, there's some neat stuff. I actually wouldn't mind going at some point, but I don't know. I'm so afraid.
There's so many other things I want to do. Comic-Con and the Big Geek Fest, I'm sure, is fairly low on the list.
Oh, no, it's pretty high on my list.
That B-movie sort of like week-long
festival
in some Pennsylvania or something.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah,
somewhere, nowhere. Right?
Love that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And I think that's it for today. I'm not quite sure. I don't think we have anything else. So come on by row3.com. Check out all the new stuff. I've been posting a lot of Comic-Con stuff. I'm sure the guys are so thrilled.
They I just noticed Comic-Con. Dale's wearing his Juno shirt.
Hooray.
He is
dancing
wearing
elk condors.
That's right. And I still have Colleen's review mojo.
Nice.
New content goes up.
Nice. Colleen is 353 dead.
Yeah, it's dead. I just haven't pulled the plug yet.
That's No, don't. Please, just turn the comments off so the Russian spammers
will go
leave
away.
Leave your stuff archived for eternity, actually, please.
Maybe I'll start a new one called, 42.
I hate Link Dead. I mean...
Very true, very true.
All my films will be rated between 0 and 42.
I like that.
Yeah.
That works. That works. And stay tuned. Come on by next week for the August preview. August already.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's almost VIF season. It's almost festival season.
It is. Oh, yeah.
I was checking out the VIF schedule because I have something I have to attend end of September. I'm like, oh, dude, no. I'm going to miss opening
weekend. Have they announced the date? Did I miss it?
October, like, 1st to 16th. So,
oh, so
September's
the date
completely
a little bit.
Clear. So I'm not going to screw up the film fest.
I'm very excited.
Wow, over Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's another event. I might miss the last day of the festival. That's okay. I'm usually by that point burnt out.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll see how the scheduling goes this year, but I am looking forward. If things go well, there's a lot of good stuff coming.
Excellent.
We've got Bright Star, Jane Campion's new film, which looks great. Antichrist, which I don't okay, care this, what it
this
looks
is,
like.
We'll start right. This is a whole other show, dude.
Oh, it's dude. Like, I'm excited.
We'll do a VIF. We'll do a VIF preview.
Yeah, I can't help
is
myself.
By far, one of my highlights of the whole year. Yeah. I'm so salivating over it because you get to see all the stuff I can't see at the Cineplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially for not.
Yeah, pretty much.
Being in the burbs, sadly.
Being in the burbs, I have to watch Borat and Bruno.
You have your choice of Borat on 50 different screens.
That's yep. right. No,
49 screens close to me. And
wait. Transformers would be even worse. I can almost guarantee you that.
Like I said, the other day, it was like 49 screens and 14 movies playing. Kill me now.
That's pretty sad.
It is.
But we're rambling. So yeah, come on by row3.com. Leave some thoughts if you have any. I'm sure you do. We have some smart listeners. And that's it, I think. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
On how we crushing, it's nothing. The ones that's buffing, it's nothing. And while they lunching, we busting to get you up in the club. And we keep you wanting and dubbing. Dig it like something you're puffing on. Fill it up in your stomach to your astonishment on a mission. The marvelous starving is verbal novelist. Killing them softly, offing them often. They in a coffin, we drilling them. Tying them all in the tournament. In the bottom of spit again. Pardon me, but this art is like parliament. Rockets parking all on your Gordons and lines. Just like Pablo Sonic, he's stomping up on a mission of dominance. Solid, flawless, so obvious. Calling you to the border. Get off the wall, everybody, yes. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move. You got to groove, freeze, stand still. Africa, Brazil, everywhere across the Americas, Canada, France, Italy, Copenhagen, Australia, everywhere, every time, every audience, mass hysteria. Some rappers make good records, but live they are a failure. Mailing your area, special delivery carrier, tearing the various barriers till everyone's everywhere. Whether you're heavy or Libra or Aries or Lebanese, vegetarian, ebony, ivory, 17 or 93. I don't care if you're arrogant or inherit inheritance from your parents, and then didn't share it with Nair. Nigga, prepare if you dare to get your hands in the air. It's rare. Form, marry your secretary here with your bear witness to snare. Kicks that'll tear, rip through the blare. Speaker woofers that pummel into the air. Hit ya, it's there with ya, your cares lifted, don't stare. Drift in the air, shifting slightly, so come into the lair. Get some.
Party people, you are down with your mind by the sound of two-faced sale.
Jumping and moving and dancing and sweating and shouting and grinding and bobbing and weaving. We taking you out of your mind. And the science applying is high in the sky and it's pile is flying is dilate. Iris, wireless mics, the fire is bright. Retire, I'm sire, your squire and dire straits. Admire and higher intelligence. I elect silence. I elect myself, I express. I'll belt rappers that lie to get by and get fried. And the bother self scientists blind when the sky is lit. Try and spit fire with my intent. I invent sciences. Try the best with no side effects. Fire vest, I'll be lying in rest. Trying to test the eye and the eye. The fire bring lion with iron tiger fist. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move. You got to groove, freeze, stand still, move.